I had in my possession at one point, and I'm not quite sure if I know where it is at this point, a black and white photo of my great-grandfather. And his name was Ray Banks. And in this picture, he's standing in a river, and this would be somewhere in southern Indiana. I'm pretty certain of that. He's up to his waist in the water. And behind him, along the bank, were a number of onlookers watching him. He was a Baptist minister. They were watching him as he baptized one of the faithful. And at least from a personal standpoint, it's kind of a captivating figure. Both my father and mother come from Baptist traditions, and they left it to us, their children, to determine when we wanted to be baptized. By the way, my parents love me very much, but for you young parents out there, I don't necessarily prescribe that view for you, and on another occasion I'll explain why. And so as a young man, a child, and then a young man, I remember wondering, when am I going to know that it's time for me to be baptized? But even as I asked the question from time to time, if you'd ask me really what baptism meant and its purpose, maybe even more, what it would demand of me, I don't know if I could have given any kind of meaningful answer. I wouldn't have understood it, certainly as a commitment to a way of life. I wouldn't have understood it as maybe kind of a sign of belonging to the body of Christ. And I certainly didn't understand it as though somehow I am dying in the tomb that is the baptismal font. In our second reading, St. Paul says, "Are you unaware that you were baptized into Christ Jesus and were baptized, therefore, into his death?" It's a curious thing. Death? The Greek word baptize, or for baptize, baptizin, it literally means to immerse or to bury. And it speaks to that notion of death. Yes, a baptismal font, and bear in mind, even if we are baptized in unusual circumstances, in a hospital bed, or as one is potentially approaching death, or whatever the circumstances might be, that font, even if it's symbolic, is intended to be a tomb. A tomb we enter, just like the one into which Jesus was placed. It's a great privilege, I can assure you, to baptize children as often as I do. And I trust almost everybody here has at least some part of their adult life, beyond their own childhood, had the experience of experiencing of the ritual of baptism. And I'll remind you that in there, the priest or the deacon says, and here it's directly to the child, mind you, as though the child has the cognitive capacities to grasp what is being said or really to be able to respond. But nonetheless, I think there's great meaning that I speak to the child. And so I say to that child, the Church of God receives you with great joy. And in her name, I sign you with the sign of the cross of Christ our Savior. And as I say so, I trace a cross on the child's forehead and then invite parents and their godparents to do the same over the child on his or her forehead. The dying that comes with baptism, well, as our faith tells us, gives way to a new way of living, a new way of existing. It is, maybe you could say, the life of grace. Yes, the font is the tomb, but it's also the womb, where those who are baptized emerge as newborns. And so that we might truly align our lives to Jesus in our new life, because that's what it's in one way of understanding it, is to conform us to Jesus, or at least give us the beginnings of grace to help us throughout our lives to do so. In that moment, part of what comes with it, though, is a gift. The gift of the cross. St. Francis de Sales composed a prayer, a beautiful one, that I think speaks fittingly of what happens when one is baptized. Imagine if this is said over a child who is baptized. The everlasting God has in his wisdom foreseen from eternity the cross that he now presents to you as a gift from his inmost heart. The cross that he now sends you, he has considered with his all-knowing eyes. He has understood it with his divine mind and tested it with his justice, his wise justice. He has warmed this cross with his loving arms. He has weighed it with his own hands to see that it not be 1 inch too large or 1 ounce too heavy for you. He has blessed this cross for you with his holy name. He has anointed it with his consolation. And then he has taken one last glance at you and your courage as he sends it to you from heaven. It is his special greeting to you. It is the alms of the all-merciful love of God. Yes, at baptism, we're given a cross. And we remind it every time we make the sign of the cross, or at least we do well to. But especially, perhaps, when it's preceded by having dipped our fingers into the waters of the font, making the sign of the cross. And this gospel we hear today speaks in very certain terms that truly to follow Jesus with our cross, to follow him with his cross, means embracing the cross we receive. As the prayer of Francis de Sales makes clear, the cross is something different for you than it is for you, than it is for you, than it is for you. But furthermore, the cross that we carry throughout our lives in some ways evolves or comes to represent different things. For some, that cross represents the chronic illness with which you must bear. It may represent taking care of your loved one who has a chronic illness. It could be any number of things, including for us, those fleeting moments in which you are called to exercise patience facing a person that is slowing you down in some way or has the tendency to push your buttons. Your cross may be the undesirable job that you nonetheless have to go to every day because you have people entrusted to your care. Your cross may be the heartbreaking loss of someone you love that you still haven't gotten over. Your cross may be the difficult questions that you are faced in trying to care for your children and guide them. We bear our cross in all the things that don't go away in the way that we might reasonably wish they would. We bear the cross in our day-to-day struggles. And too often, we as Christians, despite the fact that, let's face it, this isn't news to you, you aren't hearing this for the first time, we forget that the cross, frankly, is what our lives are about. That's what makes us Christian in many ways. And in so doing, we come to blame God, or frankly, become so fixated, preoccupied with just wishing the cross would go away that we lose sight of the way it was intended to shape us and strengthen us, to help us to fulfill our baptismal call. for the crosses that we must bear. That's part of the reason that we are a Christian community, to help each other to bear our crosses, to witness, but also to support. And the grace within, the grace that we hold in common, sharing in our baptism in Christ Jesus, well, it all calls us to shoulder this load together, like Simon of Cyrene did for Jesus. As Jesus said to us today, in very clear terms, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We learn that in this dying to self, it's then that we can be truly alive in him.